And I did learn a little bit about how much I didn't know. And so I'm going to let our missionaries, they're going to share that with you. Our missionaries, Gary, Joni, and Quinlan Doris. Come on up. Missionaries to Polynesia. Bless you guys. Yes, yes.
You have to turn this on for it to work, right? I love technology. Carry it around everywhere with me. But it is an honor and a privilege to be with you guys. Anytime that we can share what God has called us to do, we get excited. And so we are excited to be here. And I know how difficult it is for a pastor to hand his service, his church, his people over to someone outside. And so we thank you and we respect you for that. And we appreciate it. So,
real quick.
Yeah. Well, I thought he was going to turn it over. My bad. No, I'm
having
kidding.
I'm having second thoughts. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, I meant to mention this. That was about a year ago, April, wasn't it, when we were, I met Gary, and Derek was with us. Who else went with us? John, we were building. Chuck Myrick was also with us. We went to Camden. Their church had burned down sometime before that, and we were working on framing up interior walls. And these were not little walls, okay? And Gary was there helping and was a real hard worker. And didn't get to know him well, but we worked.
We were busy.
We were busy. I was pointing, he was going, and it was good time. So that's when I met Gary. And anyway, we made contact since then. And so here they are today. So I wanted to mention that.
Thank you for that. Okay, so just to introduce myself, my name is Gary. This is my wife, Joni, and this is my daughter, Quinlan. I know some of you are like, I'm not even going to try to say Quinlan. You can just call her Q. That's what we call her. It's a lot easier. Why we just chose to name her something so complicated, who knows? But anyway, so I want to introduce them to you. My wife is the brains behind our operation. She makes sure, yeah, praise God, yes. She makes sure that I'm wearing the right pants and the shoes, that I'm in the car on time, that we make it to the right church. I did go to a church one time, and the pastor was like, what are you guys doing here? And I was like, oh, I drove to the wrong town. But he was kidding. Wasn't nice, but she makes sure that I am where I need to be. I always talk about what I'm going to be speaking on with her and get her ideas. And so she's the brains behind the operation. I couldn't do what I do without her. This is my daughter, Quinlan. She is the talent of the family. She plays four instruments. She plays the drums, the guitar, the ukulele, and the piano. I can't hardly even name them all. She also sings, and so you're going to get to hear from. She's going to minister to you guys in a short while. I'm Gary, and I'm just the entertainment, right? I tell the jokes. Yeah, I tell the jokes. I do balloon animals, things like that. And so we are currently children's pastors in Springfield, Missouri, and we have done short-term missions for years and years and years, and we decided, hey, it's time for us to do this full-time. So we are transitioning into the missions field, and I'm going to turn it over to Joni and let her kind of share some of our story.
Yes. So first of all, worship today was amazing. We go to a lot of churches, and sometimes we don't feel the Spirit. And so to be here and just know that the Holy Spirit is in this place was amazing. I also don't appreciate when God wrecks me before I have to stand up here, which is why I don't wear makeup. So, amazing, amazing worship, and we're just grateful to be in a Spirit-filled church. But our family, so we are children's pastors and transitioning into missions full-time. We have been on many missions trips and just felt God's calling. And so for Gary and I, we actually met when we both started college at the Boys and Girls Club. So we worked for a youth center. Gary went on to be a director of a couple different ones of the Boys and Girls Clubs in different towns. And so he's going to explain why that's important later. But one of the just my favorite thing through this journey, there's lots of ups and downs, right? But one of my favorites is just seeing what God is doing or has done that you're like, oh, okay, now I see. I know what you were doing. So, you know, for us meeting at the Boys and Girls Club, that was one of the things that God was teaching and training us in a secular job where we weren't able to witness for something we're going to be doing for him later. And so Gary will share more about that. But even with Quinlan, we've been able to just look back and see God moving and working in her life. And so a few years ago, probably about 4 years ago, she had a toy ukulele. It was from a carnival. It was a friend of ours, so it didn't even have, it had her name, our friend's name on it. But she decided she wanted to learn to play it. And yeah, it wasn't really meant to be played. It was more for looks. But she was teaching herself, learning how to play this ukulele. It sounded awful. It was bad. But we could tell she was learning. And so we decided this is something she's serious about. So we went ahead and bought her this for Christmas. 2 years later is when we got called to Polynesian Islands. And she said, "Mom, this is their main instrument. I already know how to play the instrument that's their main instrument, and I can take that and I can share Jesus with people my age using their instrument." And so, again, it was just, I mean, we were talking 2 years of training that we didn't think was meant for ministry, right? But God says, "Oh, yes, I know what I'm doing." Yeah, she's going to play a little for you. Sounds much better now. So she's working on playing and singing, but she prefers to play the piano to sing. So just a little short taste there. But it's important that we do ministry together. It is not Gary the missionary. It is the Doris family ministry. And so for Quinlan, she is very involved in our ministry with Kids Church. She does Illusions, which she's actually going to go do in Kids Church here in a minute. She has a call of God on her life, and so we are very, very just grateful that we don't have to do it alone, and she gets to be a part of that. And so with just our story, we knew that God was calling us into full-time missions. So we were like, awesome, where are we going? We've been to Africa, Dominican Republic, Mexico, Venezuela, all over. So we were like, yes, we'll go there. Where do you want us to go? And then God said, wait. And I was like, great, I'm really not good at that. And so I was ready. You know, I like to work. And I was like, let's do it. And he said, wait. And so I was like, okay. And we know that he was working on us. He was training us. He was teaching us. He was growing us. And so as we went on, you know, we would throw out different things. What do you think about this place or that place? And we just happened to see a Facebook video from missionary Brian Webb on the Polynesian Islands. So we talked about it a little bit, and we were like, maybe. And then we just kind of moved on. But what we didn't know was on his own time, he was looking into it. On my time, I was looking into it. And one day, no, because why would we do that? One day, he mentioned it, and I was like, yeah, I've been thinking about it a lot. And so we decided, let's call the missionary and just see what he says. And I am a planner. I like my list. I have questions. I need to know. It stresses them out sometimes.
I need a planner.
Right. So when we were getting ready to call the missionary, I had a list of questions that were important, a lot that pertained to Quinlan, because she is our top priority. It is our job to make sure she's safe. And so lots of questions. And we were listening to Brian just share his heart and what he visions for the Polynesian Islands. And so when he got done, Gary said, okay, ask your questions. And I said, I can't, because he answered every single one of them. So before I could say anything, God knew, and he answered every question I had, including schooling. I mean, why was that important for in the moment? I don't know, but it was to me. And God showed up and just told us about it. And so it was just neat to see, again, that God's already got this. But being the mature kids pastors that we are, and knowing as we're just listening on the phone to missionary Brian Webb, and he can't see us, and we're knowing that this is what God has called us to, we were also like, right? We were so excited, because God had finally said, this is it. Your wait is over. This is where I've called you.
Yeah, and so we were called to missions, and then we waited for 2 years for God to reveal where we were going. So when she says we waited, right? It wasn't to the point where we even tried to interfere sometimes and be like, nope, we're going here. We've decided. And then it would never work out. And so we are exactly where God wants us to be precisely when he wants us to be there. And so now we've kind of told you a little bit of our story. I'm sure you guys are really curious about what we're going to be doing. Okay, so we are missionaries to the Polynesian Islands, but we'll be based in Fiji. How many of you have ever Googled Fiji? Okay, if you Google Fiji, what you're going to see is resorts and beaches and things like that, because Fiji is kind of Australia's Hawaii, right? So there is tourism there. There are resorts there. Joni and I checked our budget. We talked to the Assemblies of God, and they said, you will not be living there in the resort. Well, you can't afford that. Okay, so we are going to live with the people on the main island there in Fiji. Now, with this picture, everything you see between Australia and South America, that's called Pacific Oceania. That is an area of ministry for the Assemblies of God. It's divided up into three island groups. In this area, there are 830 million people. Okay? There are over 10,000 islands in that area, and there are over 1,000 unreached people groups that have never heard the name of Jesus. It's divided into three areas, and our area is Polynesia, which is everything in that red circle. Some of those islands are 1,000 miles apart. A map does not do the space justice, okay? There is lots of boat rides. They are very spread out. Some of these islands are very, very remote. They have, in this area, there is every religion you can think of. They have Hinduism, they have Buddhism, they have Islam, they have Christianity, they have animism. All of it is there, okay? And so we are the first ever next generation missionaries to the islands of Polynesia. And people always say, oh, what does it mean to be next generation, right? 50% of the population in this area is younger than 25. Okay? We'll be based in Fiji, so that means in Fiji there are 800,000 people. That means 400,000 people in Fiji are younger than age 25. So we are the first ever missionaries to go to the islands and help the church to reach that population. Help them strategize, help them to go in and say, how do we reach this young generation for Christ? Because if we can win that generation for Christ, we can win the islands for many, many years to come. And so that's what we're going to do. Now, when I said we're going to live in Fiji, how many of you got, and it's okay to be honest, because look, we've never been to Fiji. We are going because God said go. Never been. How many of you thought I was talking about one island when I said Fiji? That's okay. I did too. I was wrong. Could you show that next picture? Fiji by itself has 300 islands. Now, some of those islands are where they film Survivor because there's nobody on them. But 130 of those islands have people that live on them permanently. So we're going to start in Fiji. So if you think about you want a church planted on every island that has people, there's 130 islands that have people on them. We'll live on the big island there, Viti Levu, and there's a specific reason we're going to live on that big island. Now, I see some kids in the room, and I'm going to upset you, so I'm sorry. In Fiji, they go to school year-round. No summer break. Okay? They get 2 weeks off between quarters, right? So you go first quarter, 2 weeks off, second quarter, 2 weeks off, and you start over. Okay? So what happens is all of these little islands, they can't afford to put a school on every island that has people. Then you would think about it. You would have 100 elementary schools that you have to fund and staff. And so what happens is all of the kids from all of those islands come to the big island to go to school, and they live at the school away from their families. So imagine, I want you to imagine for a second, sending your kid 500, 150 miles away to go to school, and you get to see them 2 weeks every 3 months. Okay? You do what you got to do. One of the things we're going to do as next generation missionaries is we're going to establish a youth center on the big island to minister, to love on, to help all of these kids that are on the Big Island away from their families, right? Come get some homework help. We're going to minister to you. We're going to help you with what, you know, some of that community need stuff. And then the hope is once we start that building those relationships with those kids and they go back to those remote islands and start talking to their parents, hey, we met Gary and Joni. This is what they taught us. This is what they do for us. It gives us relationships to go and start talking to those people on those remote islands. And then we can send in church planters and things like that. And the idea is to replicate this process throughout Polynesia. So once we get the center established in Fiji, what we want to do is we want to call Samoa. We want to say, hey, send us an intern for 6 months. We're going to train you how to do this, and you're going to replicate it in Samoa. And then we're going to call Tonga, and we're going to say, hey, send us an intern. We're going to teach you how to do this, and we're going to replicate that in Tonga. That's the reason it's important that you know that we met at the Boys and Girls Club. We're going to create those style youth centers for the kids in Fiji and Tonga and Samoa and Tuvalu and Tokelau and all the other little islands I can name that you have no idea where they're at, right? So in Fiji, the majority of the people there are Hindu. Will you show that? I think I got a picture. There you go. This is a picture of a Hindu temple in Fiji. Okay. How many of you are familiar with Hinduism? Right? Most people, when I say Buddhism, you're like, yeah, I know what Buddhism is. If I say Islam, you know what that is. Hinduism is a little bit more, it's not as well known, I would say. They have hundreds of gods. They worship idols. How many of you have ever heard the term karma? That is a Hindu belief. You get out of the universe what you put into it, right? They believe in reincarnation, right? That you may never get to heaven, right? You may never achieve what you need to achieve. So you have to keep coming back as somebody different or something different and try again. And so we want to minister to the Hindus there. That's another one of the groups that we're going to minister to. Think about this. You're younger than 25 and people are teaching you, hey, worship this idol. If you leave food for this idol, the idol's going to bless you. We know that there's only one true God, and we know that that rock that you're leaving those oranges for or whatever it is going to do nothing, right? And so somebody has to share with them that Jesus Christ came for you specifically, and that's what I'm going to talk about today, how Jesus Christ came specifically for each person in this world. And so we are excited to go. Did I forget anything? I get so excited up here, the brains has to tell me what to talk about. I think that's my last picture, right? So I want to share with you some needs, okay? Because a lot of people are like, oh, you're going to Fiji. It's going to be really rough, right? I want you to think about this. Fiji suffers through 2 to 3 typhoons a year. A typhoon is the same thing as a hurricane, except it spins the opposite direction because it's on the opposite hemisphere of the world. There's your science lesson for the day, okay? So think about if 2 to 3 times a year you have to rebuild everything because a typhoon comes through and blows it all away, right? Fiji's main income is tourism. Most Fijians work in the tourism industry, right? They work in the resorts and stuff. Well, guess what happened when COVID hit? They clamped the island down and all of these people lost their job to the point where Convoy of Hope had to go in and provide food. Families couldn't provide for themselves, right? If you think about, I'll give you a recent example. How many of you guys heard about the volcano eruption in Tonga? It went off. It was like they said it was the equivalent of a 10 megaton bomb going off right off the coast. It was so loud that Fiji is 500 miles away from Tonga, and the people in Fiji heard it an hour and a half later when the volcano went off. And what happened was all this volcanic ash fell on the island and contaminated their water. We didn't hear from anybody in Fiji for 2 weeks because their communications was shut off. And so what you need to understand is, yes, is it an island? Yes. Is it warm there? It never snows. 60 is about as low as it'll get in the middle of the night during the rainy season. Okay? But people in these areas have needs, and the main need is Jesus Christ. I told you there was 1,000 unreached people groups in that area. That means in Polynesia there are unreached people groups. And I don't want one person here here is our motivation. I don't want one person to go to hell and say, if someone would have only told me what was available. No one ever came to share with me. God must not have loved me because he didn't send anybody to me. That's why we go. Because I don't want one person to say, if only Gary had told me. Because I'm going to tell everybody that I can tell. Okay? And so we appreciate you guys having us. We are excited about the work God has called us to do, but we can't do the work without being sent. God has sent us. And so we can't go without churches like this and without people like you. And here is our true and honest belief. Pastor, this is to the core of the reason we do what we do. We are your associate pastors to the Polynesian Islands. When you help us get where we're going, we are the church, big C, not this building. Your church is global. I see those missionaries on the wall. Some of those people I know, your church is global. Warsaw Assembly of God is in all of those countries. And you'll be in Fiji with us when we go. And so we thank you so much for the opportunity to come and share. But are you ready?
No, keep going.
Okay, I'll keep going. So here's where the entertainment part comes in. No, I'm kidding. But we are just excited to go. Anytime you are doing what you're doing in the will of God, it's an exciting time. And so, all right. Whew. I was like, I got like 2 minutes left in me. So, no, but we're going to turn it over to Quinn and let her minister to you guys. Thank you again for having us, and then we'll come back up. All right, you ready?
Yes.
Yeah, you broke it.
Yeah, I did. The whole thing, too.
Okay. Guys, I don't know how to work all this high-tech stuff, I guess.
All right, so everything I learned to do in ministry, I teach Quinlan. We learn together, so it makes me unnecessary, really. I'm a redundancy, but we're going to get this figured out. There you go.
Yeah.
Just do the best you can.
Yeah, I got it.
All right.
That you can make worthy.
wash me in mercy. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red, it made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I'm clean. I am clean. I'm clean. Oh, you made me. You washed me.
All right, now you guys know that I wasn't joking. You know I say things tongue-in-cheek, but I was serious. She's the talent of the family. She's going to go down and share with the kids some of the stuff we do in kids' church and talk about what missionaries do. So we have a table in the back at the end of service. We'll be back there. Please, please, please come back there, talk to us, ask us questions. We want to get to know you guys. And so we have prayer cards back there. We can tell you how to contact us if you want to contact us personally. I have all my personal information back there. I will give it to you. And so please come back there and visit us. I always forget to say that at the end, but we would love to visit with you and just get to know you. And so today I just want to share with you some of the things I noticed when I walked in here. One of the, like, almost immediately, we always go to the missions wall. Right? Because we always are curious who we know up there and things like that. But the second thing I noticed was your mission statement. I love your mission statement because it talks about connecting with God, your community, and our world. And that's a little bit of what I'm going to talk about today. First of all, I want to encourage you a little bit. But the other thing, I'm going to challenge you a little bit too. So I hope you enjoy being challenged, because I truly believe that when you are in your comfort zone, you're right where the enemy wants you. Anybody who is walking in the will of God, the enemy is going to do everything he can to stop you from doing what you're doing. I can tell you, the minute Joni and I decided to go into full-time missions, the enemy attacked our finances, the enemy attacked our health, the enemy attacked our child. I mean, there were all kinds of things that were going wrong. If you are comfortable, I would challenge you to stretch yourself outside of your comfort zone. And so I want to ask you a question. Okay, so I'm going to help Pastor out. I know he likes for you to clap for him. The quieter you are, the longer I go. All right? That's what I'm talking about. I knew you had it in you. No, So I like audience participation. So yeah, there you go. Hey, you're good at this. Okay, so let me ask you a question. If I could give you a superpower of your choosing, whatever you want. So if you wanted to fly, you wanted to be super strength, you wanted to be super strong, would you accept it? Okay. Oh yeah, me too. Right? Immediately. Most people would say yeah. Invisibility, the ability to read minds, whatever you want, I could give it to you. Right? Now, let's say I could give it to you. Would you use it? He's like, why would I take it if I'm not going to use it, right? Absolutely, you would use it. Everyone would use it. I would fly everywhere. I'd run super fast. Whatever it is, I would use it. Here's what I need you to understand. As Christians, We have this ability. I want you to think about what it means when you reach a lost person. You are bringing that person from eternal death to eternal life. You are literally bringing the dead to life when you reach a lost person. You have the ability to do supernatural things through Jesus Christ, through God. But oftentimes as Christians, we act like we're defeated and we don't use the gifts that God's given us. I'm going to give you a statistic I read recently. 85% of born-again believers in Jesus Christ, 85% never win another soul to Christ. Think about that. 85% of born-again believers never win another person to Christ. There is something that is going on that is that hinders us from stepping into the gifts that God has for us. And I want to examine this a little bit, because how many of you believe that the Bible is truly God's letter to us? Amen. Amen. How many of you believe this is the manual for life? In the book of Exodus, it actually explains to us the reasons why we're reluctant to use our gifts. And I'm going to start in Exodus chapter 3, and then I'm going to work my way to chapter 4, but I'm not going to read both chapters, so you don't have to leave yet. Don't go anywhere, okay? But there are some things I want to point out. I'm going to use Moses as the example. Moses was called to do something, right? He was called to go into Egypt and free the Israelites. Now, the Sunday school version, let me give you the Sunday school version, right? Because I'm a kids pastor. The Sunday school version is Moses is walking through the wilderness. He sees a burning bush. He goes to the burning bush. The burning bush says, go to Egypt and free the Israelites. And Moses goes. That's the Sunday school version. That is not how that story happened. Okay? So I'm going to give Moses actually gives God five excuses that he doesn't want to go. Moses tries to get out of going to Egypt five times. Because you got to remember what had happened to Moses. He had just killed a person in Egypt and ran away. And now God's saying, go back. He's pushing Moses out of his comfort zone a little bit. So if you look at Exodus 3 verse 1, or no, verse 10, sorry. It says, Moses has encountered the burning bush, and God says, so now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Moses says, God, I don't know who I am. That is the first problem we have as Christians that prevent us from using our supernatural gifts. We don't understand who we are in Christ. I don't know who I am. There's a couple of ways you can truly learn who you are. Your identity is built in Jesus Christ. It's not what the world tells you you are. It's not what society tells you are. Or it's not what the President of the United States tells you you are. It's what God Himself says you are. And God said you are redeemed. God said you are victorious. So God responds to Moses and says, I will be with you, and this will be a sign that it is I who have sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. God said it's not about you, it's about me. We forget that. You cannot save anybody. You cannot heal anybody. God does it. Most of the time, we don't know who we are in Christ. So what happens is, I don't want to pray for somebody's healing because what if it doesn't happen? It's not about you. It's about God. If it is in God's will, it will happen. Sometimes the answer is no. You know, when my daughter was 12, she always wanted to drive the car. I didn't toss her the keys. Sometimes the answer is no. Or sometimes the answer is the more unpopular, wait. Right? But you got to understand who you are in Christ in order to be able to work in those gifts. So, there's excuse number one. You got to know who you are. That means you got to have an intimate relationship with Christ. Think about how you gain an intimate relationship. You got to spend time with that person. When I was courting Joni, I didn't say, hey, I'll see you in a couple weeks. I tried to get in front of her. I tried to brainwash her. I was the only person that existed to her, right? I was in front of her every minute. And I could tell you, even me, I don't know that I work as hard for my relationship with Jesus Christ as I did with my relationship with Joni. But if you want that intimate relationship, you want to know who you are, you better get in front of the one who knows and build that relationship. So, let's look at excuse number two. It's in verse 13. So Moses says to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your father has sent me, and they ask, what's his name? What should I tell them? Moses is like, I don't know. I'm not even smart enough to know who you are. I'm not smart enough. I don't even know your name. How do I tell these people that you sent me? And God answers. God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. So God tells Moses, no, you're not smart enough, but I have the answers. How many of you have had the opportunity to minister to someone or witness to someone, and then when you did it, you're like, maybe I should refer them to a pastor? You don't have to raise your hand because I know it was everybody in this room. Right? We all encounter somebody that we say, you know what? I'm not smart enough to be able to explain this. I've had people ask me theological questions, and I'm like, I don't know that I'm qualified to answer this. Right? I don't have to have the answers. I have the manual. God has the answer. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's going to guide you. God has the answers. He's going to give it to you. He's not going to put someone in front of you and then let you fumble. He will guide you. Okay, so you would think Moses has got the point now. Nope. Moses was as stubborn as everybody else in this room, right? So let's move on to chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered, okay, so what if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? How many of you are like, nobody is ever going to listen to me? I am that person. I am just a small farm kid from Southeast Missouri. Nobody is going to listen to me. This is probably the one I struggle with personally the most. Nobody's going to listen to me. I am nobody. Okay? But you are somebody. And God responds to Moses again and says, what's in your hand? And Moses says, a staff. So God actually gives Moses three signs to prove that it is God who is sending him. God is saying to Moses, I will equip you. Right? So Moses throws a staff on the ground and it turns into a snake and he picks it up and it turns back into a staff. The next one is Moses puts his hand in his coat, his cloak, pulls it out and he has leprosy and he puts it back in and he's healed. The third one is he pours water from the Nile on the ground, it turns to blood. That sound familiar to anybody? That's three of the 10 plagues that came over Egypt when Moses went to free the Israelites. God was equipping Moses, and God has equipped you. Right? Pastor Chad, I know how hard pastors work. I know he studies up, and you come in every Sunday ready to hear from Pastor Chad. He doesn't do that to tickle your ear. He does that to prepare you to go. Think about this. God has sent Pastor Chad to equip you to go. Because in Matthew, the Great Commission says, go and make disciples of all nations. baptizing them in the name of the Father. It doesn't say pastors go. It doesn't say missionaries go. It says everybody go. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that comes with responsibility. And that responsibility is to share the good news. You should be so excited that you get eternal life that you want to share it with everybody. If you won the lottery, you would call everybody you know and tell them you won the lottery. Right? But you get eternal life and you're like, okay. Now I'm just going to wait for it. I'm going to sit in my pew. I'm going to go through life and I'm just going to wait for my part of eternity. But that's not the way it's supposed to work. There's a responsibility that comes with Christianity, and that is to share the gospel. And the gospel literally translates to good news. Share the good news. It's good news. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to live forever. You're going to get to experience heaven. You're going to get to see Him face to face. You know, all the songs we sang this morning, look, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you as a worship pastor, because I can tell you when I'm speaking something, if it's meant to be, I can almost line everything up with the worship set. And I can tell you right now, everything you sang, you guys just sang about shouting Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus for your family. So my question is, who have you told Jesus about lately? You sing about it. Are we doing it? We sang about dry bones coming to life. How many lost people have you ministered to? Have you witnessed to? And I know, I get it. Society tells us that you're not supposed to share that kind of stuff. That's personal. Not everybody wants to hear that. No, but everybody should hear it. Everybody should hear it. All right. So God's going to equip you. All right. So now we go to chapter 4, verse 10. Moses says to the Lord, "Pardon your servant." Okay, I want to stop here for a second. This is the first time Moses says, "Pardon your servant." I'm pretty sure Moses is getting the idea that he's kind of agitating God at this point. After the four, how many of you, you ask someone to do something four times, how does that end? Right? So Moses says, "Pardon your servant. Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue." Historians believe that Moses had a stuttering problem. Okay? And God again responds to Moses, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." So Moses says, "I'm not good enough." I would venture a guess and say this is probably the one that people struggle with the most. The reason 85% of Christians never win a soul to Christ is because they never feel like they're good enough, which is a lie. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies you when He calls you. Okay, I'm going to say that again for the people in the back. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies you when He calls you. I'll give you a very simple example of how this hinders us. Someone comes up to the altar and starts praying, and all of a sudden you hear from God, and God says, "Hey, you need to go pray for that person." And then we say, "Oh, somebody else will do that. Pastor Chad's got it. He's already on the front row." Something that simple we can overlook. The Bible says that if I can trust you with a little, I can trust you with a lot. If God can't trust you to come to the front and pray for somebody that you know you have a relationship with, how is He going to trust you with a lot? And that's in everything you do. You come up here and pray for this person against your comfort, and guess what? I guarantee you tomorrow, you'll encounter two people to minister to. And then you minister to those two people, and guess what? Then all of a sudden, you'll see five. Because God's saying, okay, I can trust Him with a little. I can trust Him with a lot. God can still use you. God is saying, I built you for a purpose. I know exactly what you have the capability of doing. Again, it goes back to your identity. It comes from God, not from who society tells you you are. So you've got to get out of your comfort zone. Sometimes, in Joni and I's case, it means going to a culture we don't know, with people who speak a language we don't know. Some of you, it might just be, hey, I'm going to talk to a stranger today. When I go into McDonald's for my whatever, the girl that's at the checkout counter who looks miserable, I'm just going to have a conversation with her, okay? Like, I went into Walmart the other day to pick up a prescription, and my daughter was with me, and I called the lady that was, like, helping me. I called her by her first name because it's on a name tag. It's right there. It said Joanna. And I said, hey, Joanna, how's it going? Thank you for your help. She's like, it almost like threw her off that I called her by her name. Because think about the last time you went into a restaurant or you went into somewhere and they all wear name tags, but you never use their name. You're like, thank you. How's it going? You know, talk to that person. Hi, Joanna, how are you? You having a good day? Right? God can use you, but oftentimes it is our fault that we get blocked. Let God trust you with that. Okay, so finally, now Moses is going to get pretty blunt. Okay, so we go to chapter 4, verse 13. Moses says, pardon your servant. Lord, send someone else. How many of you, when God calls you to do something that's kind of outside your comfort zone, you're like, okay, somebody else will get that one. Right? I'll raise my hand. I've done that before. Right? Talk to somebody you don't know. Help somebody who's struggling. Right? Seeing a need and meeting the need instead of, hey, it's really easy to just keep going. Right? But God responds to that. And he says, well, first of all, now this is more of the response I expect from God after five times of saying, I don't want to go. The next verse in 14, it says, the Lord's anger burned against Moses. Right? Think about when you ask your child to do something and they're like, nah, I don't want to do it. And you got to ask five times. God's anger burned against Moses. Okay? At this point, he's agitated. But God is patient and responds to Moses and says, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you. Isn't that a coincidence? He's already on his way. And he's going to be glad to see you. You shall speak to him, put the words in his mouth, and he will speak to the people for you. And it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. So what God is saying right here is, I'm speaking to you through the burning bush. You're going to be Aaron's burning bush. I'm going to tell you what to say. You tell Aaron, and Aaron will present it to the people. So Moses literally says, send somebody else. And God said, I was already ready for that. I've already prepared the way. Aaron's almost here. How often do we not step into a situation because we're afraid we're going to be on an island? You are never alone, ever. I don't care where you're at, what you're doing, who you're talking to. You are never alone. So, the question is, now, what reason do you have to be in that 85%? We've just talked about most of the excuses that people give for not reaching out to lost people. Hey, I'm familiar with Warsaw, okay? I've had friends that lived here. I've stayed here a little bit, okay? I know that if you walk out those doors and spend 10 minutes in the community, you will probably run into three or four people that do not believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for them. I also know that this community has needs. How many of you, the challenge is, all I'm asking you is, what's the mission statement? Reach out to your community, okay? It's not about going out saying, you're lost, you're going to hell, you better find Jesus right now. That never works, okay? I'm going to tell you a secret. That will never work. I want you to think about what happened with the disciples when Jesus ascended to heaven. It said people knew they were followers of Christ by two reasons. The first was love, right? They will know you by your love. So it's just about loving on people. The second one was generosity. Think about what happened after that. All the disciples gathered all their belongings and just started meeting the needs of the community with everything they had. You know, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is when Peter's walking by the gate called Beautiful, and the lame man's sitting there, and the guy's like, will you give me money? And what does Peter tell him? Silver and gold, I have none. But what I do have, you can have it. Get up and walk in the name of Jesus. It's generosity, folks. Peter doesn't have two wooden nickels to rub together. But he says, you know what? What I do have, I'll give you. That's what it's about. Love on your community. If you see a need, meet the need. Because here's the truth. And when I say truth, I mean from the Bible. We are all called to be missionaries. Some of us will go to foreign lands, but some of you need to do mission work right here in Benton County, right here in Warsaw. When you walk out those doors, you're in the mission field. You come here every Sunday for training. To learn what this word says and to go out and share it. That's what Christianity is about. Now let me ask you another question. If somebody broke into your home, would you do everything in your power to protect your home, or would you say, okay, just take it and see you later? You're going to protect your home. The Bible literally says that the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. That sounds like somebody's broke into the house to me. Right? It's time to protect the community. Especially when we know that we're victorious. Yes. When you start walking in the will of God and doing things that God's asked you to do, the enemy's going to remind you of how bad your past was. Look, I'm telling you right now, I was raised by a single dad. Sometimes we were left to our own devices and it didn't turn out real well, right? You can ask Joni at the back of the table what I was like when she met me. I was a very different person then. Very, very different, okay? Satan is going to remind you of all that stuff and tell you you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not eloquent enough. But guess what? I always remind Satan, you may know where I've been, but I know where you're going. I know how it ends. We're victorious. Amen. God has already died on the cross. He's already been resurrected. He stole the keys to hell, and you win, period. So why is it that we always, as Christians, walk around defeated? We're so afraid of offending somebody. We're so afraid of sharing the gospel. Jesus offended people. He offended people so much they killed him for it. I want you to think about this. God sent Jesus to die on the cross knowing that you may never love him back. He did it. There are people that may never acknowledge that Jesus even existed, but he did it for them anyway. Generosity and love. That's how you do it. So I'm going to close out. Here's what I want to do. I would not... Quinlan, will you come up and play? Okay. Not that your worship team isn't awesome, but I know that you guys work hard, and I want you to be able to pray and do this along with us. So here's what I want to do. I would not be a good missionary if I didn't make sure everybody in the room knew who Jesus Christ was. So I want every head bowed. I want every eye closed. If you do not know who Jesus Christ is, if you've never had accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all I want you to do is slip your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you to the carpet, so to speak. I just want to know if there's anybody in here who does not know who Jesus Christ is as their Lord and Savior. Okay. So, there were no hands raised. So, okay, you guys can open your eyes. What that tells me is everybody in here is a missionary. You are all called. Okay? Okay. How many? So, here's what we're going to do. First thing we want to pray about. How many of you guys have let the enemy break in and you have loved ones, friends, family that do not know who Jesus Christ is? If you do, I want you to stand to your feet. If you have anyone that you care about that does not know who Jesus Christ is as your Lord, their Lord and Savior, I want you to stand up. I want you to look around and I didn't even ask for a number, right? It could be one person, it could be three persons, it could be 10 people, it could be your whole family. You may be the only one. I want you to look at how many lost people there are right here that you're representing. Somebody has got to share the gospel with them. If we don't, nothing changes. And you might be that person. We always pray, oh, God, send somebody. God might be sending you. You may be the answer to your prayer. So don't neglect that. Okay? The second thing, or the third thing I want to pray about. How many of you would say, and you don't have to raise your hand, I just want you to think about it. How many of you would say, you know what? I struggle to share the gospel. I've kind of been sitting in my comfort zone. I've been kind of going through the motions. I come to church on Sunday. I go to work Monday through Friday, and I live it all over again. But when I encounter people, I never really love on them. I never really show my generosity, right? I need help in that area. I don't want you to raise your hand, but we're going to pray about that. Because I'm really here to challenge you, okay? This Christian thing is not easy. Jesus died for it. The disciples died for it. It's not meant to be easy. It's not say a little prayer and now my life is going to go smooth. Mine is yet to go smooth. Right? It's about reaching the lost. It's about making sure that the people you care about, the people you love, the people of this world make it to heaven. Okay? So I'm going to pray. If you guys could bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, God, because we are victorious. We come to you with the understanding that we're victorious and that you are with us till the end of days, and that you are going to empower us, you are going to give us the knowledge, and you are going to qualify us for what it is you've called us to do. And God, I just pray that as the people in this church are standing in representation of loved ones, of people they know who do not know who Jesus Christ is, that you would make them an answer to prayer, that you would send them and reveal yourself through them in a mighty way to their loved ones, to their friends, to their family, so that their friends and family might know who you are. God, we understand that you have the power, but that power does not get exercised unless we move. God, we need your guidance. We need your wisdom. God, and most of all, we need your Spirit. We just pray that your Spirit would fall on this church. We pray that your Spirit would fall on these people, and that your Spirit would fall on this community through these people, God. God, I pray for the people of this church and the needs, because when they start walking in obedience to you, we know that things are going to happen. There's going to be illnesses, and there's going to be confrontations, and there's going to be financial struggles, God. But we put all of that in your hands, and we move forward in faith, knowing that if you can trust us with a little, you can trust us with a lot. We love you. We thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross. I pray for healing for the people of this church. I don't know all of the needs, God, but you do. And I know that you know exactly where the need comes from, and I know you know exactly how to meet it, God. And so I just pray that you would bless these people, bless your kingdom, and help them to be bold and help them to have the words to share the gospel in this community and win this community to Christ. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Pastor Chad, oh.
Jennifer has something she wants to share, believes the Lord's leading us into something here. So if you give her your attention.
The Lord gave me a word for us today, that today is the day of change. And we must step out and be the agent, the conduits of change. And he spoke to me and he said, you are warriors in my army. I have given you weapons of divine power that can demolish and tear down strongholds. You have to step forward in those weapons, and you have to rise up in that divine power that I put in you. And you have to step forward in faith and confidence and courage to touch the world, to change the world, and to break down those strongholds in people's life. I've called you. I've chosen you for a specific purpose. We're not all the same. He's called us differently. And you can't compare yourself with what other people are called to do. You have to step out in what he has spoken to you and called you to do. And sometimes it takes an act of faith to activate it, to step forward. Sometimes we have to lay things down at his feet, our doubt and our fears, our anxiety. Sometimes it's hard, but he says, when the enemy comes against you like a flood, I raise up a standard against him, and hallelujah, I will fight for you against him. You do not have to worry. You do not have to fear. I've equipped you. I have called you. Before you were even born, I predestined you. I foreknew you, and I called you for a purpose. You're here for a purpose. I put you here for a purpose, and it's time to walk out that purpose in your life.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you for that. So I just want to tell you how honored we are to come and share. Thank you guys so much for having us. Please come back and talk to us. Ask us questions, whatever you need. We're there as long as you need us to be there for whatever reason. So we love your church. We thank you so much for having us.
Brother, you did a great job, you and your family. We're going to step out. Jennifer, I want to thank you for being obedient to the Lord. So, those of you who say, Lord, I'm yours and you can count on me, stand up and come on up. We're saying with this, Jesus, I want you to be able to use me however you want to use me and help me to be able to share the gospel with others. Listen, it's easy to stay in our seats, but I think that we were just challenged to get out of them. Because let's face it, if you're sleeping, wake up. We're not called to sit on these pews. This is not the church. You and I are the church. And we want to reach people that are lost and dying. Come on up. If you're on Jesus' team, and you're going to allow yourself to be used of him, and come on up. And just cry out to him and say, God, use me. As our brother shared, God, give us the words. We can make excuses all day and all night, but we're not called to make those excuses. We're called to walk in obedience to Jesus. We're called to love people into the kingdom. So let's pray right now. This is why God sends us missionaries and evangelists, right? Praise God. They challenge us. They spur us along. And then we just simply respond and say, Jesus, help us. Help us to do that. Some are feet, some are hands, some are the mouthpiece, some are the eyes, and some are the ears, okay? We can see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Ask God to help you. Ask God to equip you. Ask God to give you the holy boldness. Ask God to lead and guide your heart. Ask God to give you favor with that person you've been trying to reach because you can't stand the way that they talk around you. Whatever it is. Father, help us. Lord, we got out of our seats and we came to the front because, Lord, maybe we've been too complacent. Forgive us for that. Forgive me. Lord, use us as the body of Christ in Warsaw to be a blessing to those all around us. Use us, God, to reach children. Use us to reach teenagers. Use us, God, to reach other adults, aunts, uncles, grandparents, moms, dads. Use us, God. We thank you. We need you. We need you today. We need you every day. Now, Holy Spirit, baptize us afresh and anew. Give us a passion for your name. Give us a passion for the lost. God, break our hearts with those things that break your heart. And God, stamp eternity on our eyeballs, that we would live in such a way that lives would be touched and changed around us. God, use each and every one of us. We don't have to have a pastor or a reverend in front of our name. It's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ that we are saved and that we are called and that we are able to share the gospel. So God, we thank you for who you are. Equip us, fill us today to overflowing, that we might be a blessing to others around us. Lord, may they see you in us. May they see the light of Jesus in us. We give you the praise. We're your people called by your name. And God, we're willing to share the gospel. It's your gospel. You authored it. We're just messengers. So God, we honor you today. We thank you. Lord, use us to see people born again. Use us to see people saved, healed, and delivered. Use us, mighty God, to see lives transformed all around us. Oh, we just answer your call today, God. Lord, thank you for that burning bush. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for tugging on us. Thank you for tugging on us today, God, that you're tugging on our hearts and saying, that's you, that's what I've called you to do, is to you to be used to redeem someone else. Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you, God. We thank you for that freedom. That freedom that's found only in Jesus Christ. Not in rehabilitation programs. It's found in Jesus. And Lord, we speak the name of Jesus over this community. And we just honor you, God. We thank you. Oh, we honor you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Our community. Thank you, Father God.